Okay, back to Isaiah 61. Let's read again at verse 1 down through verse 3. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord, now notice that's capital L-O-R-D. You see that? Whenever you see that in Scripture, it's talking about Jehovah, the eternal God Almighty. I am that I am. Because the Lord, Jehovah, hath anointed me, that is God the Son, God manifest in the flesh, and this is what he's talking about, hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach good tidings unto those who are meek. He hath sent me, sent on purpose. God sent God on purpose. I didn't misspeak there. God sent God on purpose to accomplish our salvation. He has sent me to bind up broken hearts. Anybody know anything about a broken heart? Broken over sin, broken over depravity, broken in heart that you've sinned against God and come short of the glory of God. Anybody know anything about that kind of brokenheartedness before God? He has sent me to bind up. You see, He's the great physician to proclaim liberty to those who are held captive. By nature, I'm a captive to my sin, to my sin nature, my depravity, and I cannot set myself free. But He opens the prison house by His grace, by His gospel, by His power. He has the right and power to do so. He sets us free. Free. Free from the curse of the law. Free. We have liberty to serve God in Christ, to them who were bound to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, accepted in the Beloved. And this goes back to the year of Jubilee. If you have a reference there, it should say Leviticus 25, verse 9, the year of Jubilee. And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty. Which would you rather have? Beauty or ashes? Beauty? Or would you rather have burnt up, old ground up ashes, black ashes? Would you rather have beauty, wouldn't you? The oil of joy. Would you rather have joy or mourning? Well, in the gospel, we have joy, rejoicing in the Lord. The garment of praise, it's a garment of righteousness and salvation. The garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Would rather have the spirit of praise and worship than that of heaviness? That they might be called. We're the called of God. Called of God. Trees, here's what they're called. And here's what every believer is called. You're a tree. Do you know that? You're a tree. Trees of righteousness. How'd you become a tree of righteousness? Well, the planting of the Lord. That He, in all things, and here's the bottom line, in all of salvation, here's the bottom line, that He might be glorified. No flesh is going to glory in God's presence. God has determined in salvation that He must have all the honor and all the glory in salvation. Now, there's no doubt who this Scripture is talking about. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He went to His hometown, His home church, and He received the book of Isaiah, and He read this very Scripture, and He said, this day, right now, this word is fulfilled in your ears. No doubt this Scripture is talking about the blessed Savior, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All the prophets of the past give witness to Him. Isaiah, Jeremiah, beginning of Moses, and all the prophets, they give witness to one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole Old Testament has one message. You know what it is? Someone's coming. Someone's coming. The Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King out of David's house. Someone's coming. no doubt who this Scripture is talking about, no doubt as to why He came and what He came to accomplish. Well, He came to do the will of God. He was anointed of God. He was anointed of God in all of His office as prophet, priest, and king. He was anointed, chosen, blessed of God in all of His office to do the will of God. He said on several occasions, "My meat is to do the will of God and to please Him." And to please Him. An obedient child enjoys pleasing and seeks to have the approval of mom and dad. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as God the Son, He said, "My very being is to do the will of God." He came to accomplish God's will in the saving of His people. The Lord Jesus, as God's Messiah, sent of God, anointed of God, blessed of God, He came to fulfill all Scripture. Not part of the Scripture. He came to fulfill all Scripture. He lived, He came, He died according to the Scripture. He fulfilled all Scripture. He said there in Luke chapter 24, beginning at Moses and all the Scripture, He expounded unto them in all things in the Scriptures concerning Himself. The Scripture is all about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He fulfilled the Scriptures in accomplishing our salvation. He came to save. He came to seek and to save His elect. He didn't come to make an effort to save. He didn't come to try to put us in a savable state. He didn't come to try to make salvation a possibility. No, my friend, the Scripture said in John 10:15 that He laid down His life for the sheep. The messenger from heaven said, "Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin." Now, make no mistake, He can't fail. In all that God sent Him to do, He's anointed. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me." Jehovah, God Almighty, He can't fail. Failure is not a possibility. He came to finish salvation by the sacrifice of Himself. And He came out to call. He came to call and to gather together the elect and to draw them and call them to Himself. He said, "Come to Me and I'll give you life." I want you to turn over to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62 verse 12. Look at this here. "They shall call them," that is, the holy people, "the redeemed of the Lord." That's a good name. I like that. The redeemed of the Lord. Delivered by God. Delivered. How are we redeemed? Well, we're redeemed with the blood of Christ. "The redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out." You see, I was lost. He sought me out. He's the good shepherd who goes out and seeks His sheep. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Sought out a city not forsaken. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never, never, never forsake you." So what He came to do, He accomplished in all that He did. The bottom line in Isaiah 61 verse 4, that He might be glorified. He said, He prayed that way in John 17, "Father, I've glorified Thee on the earth. I finished the work that You gave Me to do." Now, how was the Lord Jesus Christ fit and qualified for this work? Well, He had the Holy Spirit upon Him without measure. Without measure. Now, I know as God, He is Spirit. And But this is talking about the God-man mediator. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 3. John the Baptist, his testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ was that He must increase, I must decrease. John chapter 3. Look at verse 34. "For He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, hath given all things into His hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. God Almighty ordained and sent and anointed the Lord Jesus as man, as the God-man mediator. He is the Messiah anointed in all of His office. Threefold. What's the threefold office of the Messiah? What's the threefold office? He's that prophet that God said in Deuteronomy, told Moses, I'll raise up a prophet from among the brethren, and he's going to speak my truth, and you're going to hear him. He's anointed as the prophet of God to reveal God's will to us. Secondly, he's not only the prophet to represent God to us, but he's the priest of God, isn't he? He's anointed as the priest of God. Aaron of old was the anointed of God to officiate and to represent the people unto God. The anointed of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you read the record in the book of Hebrews. All through the book of Hebrews talks about the high priest. Seeing that we have such a great high priest. Hebrews 4:12. He is the mediator, the surety of the covenant. He is that high priest that I must have. That's blessed of God, sent of God, anointed of God to represent me. What does a priest bring? He brings a sacrifice. And the Lord Jesus Christ brought that perfect sacrifice, His own blood, that represents me, justified, sins gone, cleansed completely before God Almighty. You see, He's anointed, the sent one of God in all of His office. Prophet, priest, what's the third one? King. Prophet, priest, and king. Or prophet, priest, and potentate. If you want three P's. He is the potentate. He is the great King of kings and Lord of lords. You remember Psalm 2. God said, I've set my king upon my holy hill Zion. God's king. God's king can't fail. As prophet, priest, and king, he's a surety of the covenant. He's a sin offering of the covenant. And he is the Savior of the covenant. And because of God's anointing on him as our mediator. Now, I have to have a mediator. You have to have a mediator before God. And there's just one. There's one God, one mediator between God and men. And that is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one sin of God, blessed of God, anointed of God, in all of His office to represent me, to rule and reign over me, an absolute wisdom, an absolute authority. Now, in Isaiah 61, we see here a description of that work the Lord Jesus Christ was appointed to do. The first one is this. The Lord Jesus Christ was ordained and sent of God to be a preacher. He is that prophet of God, the gospel of God. No matter where he was or what he was doing, he was always about his Father's business doing what? Preaching, preaching, preaching. Preaching the gospel. I want you to find Matthew chapter 4. Notice this, Matthew chapter 4. Preaching, preaching, preaching. He was a preacher. He went to his hometown, his home church, and he stood up with the Word of God to declare the gospel of God, the preaching of the gospel. Notice Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, Matthew 4, 23, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, preaching salvation in Christ, healing all manner of sicknesses, all manner of diseases among the people. He was God's preacher, sent of God. He lived as the prince of preachers. He died to become the message of all preaching, didn't he? God forbid we should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He arose as the victory message of all gospel preaching. He said, I'm He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. He lives as the power and message of all preaching, doesn't he? He's the message of all preaching. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And my friend, He's coming again as the end of all preaching. It'll just be worship in that day unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. It says here in the text that He came to preach. He hath anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me without measure, because He hath anointed me, blessed me, and sent me to preach good tidings. You know, that's what the gospel is. Good news. Good news. Gospel. It's a good spell. Good news. That's what gospel means. Good news. Good story. Good tidings. To preach good news unto those who are humbled by God's grace. To the meek. To the meek. They want to hear about the good news of how God saves sinners in Christ. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach the gospel, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to preach good tidings to those who are afflicted, to those who are poor, to those who are sinners. The gospel is good news to those who are in need. To those who are in need, the gospel is good news. To those who are needy. You know who's interested in drinking water? Those who are thirsty. Who's interested in sitting down at a good meal? The man who's hungry. Now, if you ever get hungry and thirsty for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they won't have to ask you to come and listen. You'll be eager to go to the house of the Lord. The gospel is good news to those who are needy. Christ supplies all my needs. The gospel is good news to those who are guilty. I ever can find a guilty man who knows that he's guilty before God and he's sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've got good news for him. Christ died for the ungodly. The gospel is good news to those who are hungry, to those who are thirsty. Turn over to Isaiah 32. Look at this. Isaiah 32. You see, he's a proclaimer of good news. Good things. Good things. Salvation by grace. Isaiah 32. Look at this. Verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be a hiding place from the wind. Oh, he's our refuge. A covert from the tempest. He's our covering in the time of storm. And he's rivers of water in a dry place. He's a water of life. He's a shadow of a great rock. He's a foundation in a weary land. You see what he's saying here? The gospel is good news to those who are thirsty. Find Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55:1. Now look at this. Isaiah 55:1. Ho! That just simply means stop. You stop and listen to this. Everyone that's thirsty, our God said, come to the waters. He that hath no money, no money. This is strange economics here. You have no money? Come ye buy and eat without money and without price. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You see, salvation's free. Free for the asking. Come unto me. So he is God's preacher. Now, here, secondly, is this. He's a proclaimer of good news, good tidings. So he's God's preacher. He's anointed as the prophet of God, sent of God, raised up of God, with God proclaiming God's will, God's salvation. This is God's gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's the preacher. Secondly, it says there that he's the healer. The healer. He has sent me to bind up the broken heart. He is the healer. The healer. The healer. To bind up the brokenhearted. This is what the preaching of the gospel of grace reveals to us. How He takes our diseases, our infirmities to Himself. Wounded for our transgression. Bruised for our iniquities. Turn back to Isaiah 53. He is a great physician. You know who needs a physician? those who are sick. You don't go to the doctor when you're well. You go when you're in trouble. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great healer. He is the physician who has every remedy for every disease. He has the remedy. It's perfect. It's a perfect remedy. It's Himself. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. We did esteem Him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Isaiah 53, 4. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Now what would you think? Now you listen to me. If you went to the doctor one day, and you were very, very ill, I mean, you were so sick and so just sick you couldn't hardly walk and couldn't stand up. And you walk into that doctor and he told him all your problem. And what if he just took all those sicknesses to himself and he took his strength, health and beauty and gave it to you. And you walked out in the health and the strength of that physician. You know, that's the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is that great physician who takes all the infirmities and sicknesses, our diseases, to Himself and presses them to Himself and they become His. He calls them in Psalm 40, mine iniquity. And then He gives us His beauty, His glory, His vitality, His strength, His health. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ you are complete. Complete. You see, He's the great healer. He's the physician. He's the doctor who has all and the only remedy for my disease called sin. Turn over here to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Some of those Pharisees, when he went home with Matthew the publican, Matthew was a notable sinner. In Matthew chapter 9, when he called Matthew, verse 9, and told Matthew to follow him, well, he followed him. And he went home with him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, his house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. You know, he had some of his co-workers, other publicans and his family. Oh, Matthew wanted them to hear the gospel. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said unto the disciples, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Why does he hobnob around with those low folks? And when Jesus heard that, he said to them, they that be whole don't need a physician, but those who are sick. Go ye learn what this means. I will have mercy, not sacrifice. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. Sinners to repentance. You see, He is our physician. He is our healer. With His stripes, His atonement, His blood, we are healed. He's God's anointed preacher, number one. Number two, He's the healer. Okay? Number three, turn back to Isaiah 61. Number three is that He is the deliverer to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound. He's our deliverer. I need a deliverer. He's a prophet to preach, a priest to heal, and a king to deliver. A king to deliver. Now, there's two proclamations made here. He's peace to His friends. Peace to His friends. To proclaim liberty to the captives. The opening of prisons to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable day. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. The Lord Jesus Christ, He came to preach peace to His people. It's liberty to the captives. Freedom in Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's peace to His people. Peace to those in Christ. Peace that was purchased with His blood. reconciled unto God through His blood sacrifice. He took our punishment and set us free. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So He proclaims peace to His friend, liberty to the captives. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. We've been set free from the curse of that law. That law of God said, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. But Christ redeemed us from the curse of that law, being made a curse for us. He set us free. And we're to stand fast in that liberty. You see, He proclaims liberty to the captives. Peace to His friends. Peace to His people. The opening of prison to them that are bound by sin. I can't loose the fetters of sin. I can't break the reigning power of sin, but He does. He does when He saves me by His grace. This liberty we have in Christ is pictured here by this year of Jubilee. You see it in verse 2? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You go back and read about that in Leviticus chapter 25. Every 49 years, all things were set free. Every 49 years under the law, on that day of Jubilee when the trumpet was sounded, every slave was set free. If you sold yourself into slavery to pay your indebtedness, on that 49th year, Jubilee, debt's paid. Not only that, but all land was returned to the original owner. If you had lost your land in a bad deal, on the year of Jubilee, it came back to you, came back to your family. Every slave set free, all land returned, all debts forgiven. And you know, on that on that 49th year in the year of Jubilee, this proclamation was made under the law on the Day of Atonement. They sounded that gospel trumpet. And my friend, we have liberty because the Lord Jesus Christ set us free with His atonement for our sin. His atonement. All that was lost in Adam was restored in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. He is our year of Jubilee. He is our acceptance before God. All debt canceled. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You see, He is our preacher. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. Set us free. Proclaiming liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim what is acceptable unto God. What is acceptable unto God? Huh? Best you can do? Christ! That's what's acceptable unto God. Accepted in the Beloved. So He proclaims peace to His friends. But there's a second proclamation here. And the day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance of our God. There's a proclamation of war against His enemies. Peace to His friends. I'm going to set you free. But the proclamation of war against His enemies. The day of vengeance of our God. Vengeance against sin, against death, against Satan, the powers of darkness. Christ confronted them and He went forth conquering to conquer. Vengeance against all those who refuse to bow to Christ. One day you will. You might not think you'll bow to Christ now, but one day you will. You'll be made to bow to Him. God has highly exalted Him. God given Him a name above every name. That name. You're going to bow, and you're going to worship, and you're going to honor, and you're going to say, He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, here's the fourth point. He was sent to be the comforter to His people. The comforter. Notice in the last part of verse 2, to comfort all that mourn. To comfort all that mourn. He's our comforter. The comforter. What does He comfort with? Turn back to Isaiah 40. I like to be comforted, don't you? I like comfortable things. I don't like to be uncomfortable. I like to be comfortable. I just tell you plain. The Lord Jesus Christ. How can this sinner feel comfortable before God who is holy? Only in Christ. He's my comfort. Look at Isaiah 40 verse 1. Comfort ye, My people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. crying to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Boy, that's comforting, isn't it? Your iniquity, all your sin, pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. Double. You don't pay your debts double, do you? When your credit card company wants $100 a month and you owe $100, you pay in double? No, you send $100. The Lord Jesus Christ paid double for all our sin. He put them away completely forever. And that's comfort to God's people. Christ not only provides comfort, proclaims comfort, but He also applies comfort. Christ Himself is that comfort. Now listen to me. When the Lord Jesus said, when He went away, He said to His disciples there in John 14, 15, 16, I go away. I'm going away to the cross to prepare a place for you by my death, by my blood. And when I go away, I'll send the Comforter to you and He'll comfort you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming, who take the things of Christ and show them unto you. What does the Holy Spirit comfort His people with?
Word.
Christ! He take the things of Christ, the Word, and reveal that to you. It's not that He makes us feel all gooey and gushy. The comfort of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Christ unto us. His beauty, His glory, His strength, His righteousness, His blood to atone for sin. You see that? Christ Himself is our comfort. He's the God of all comfort. Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Look what He gives us here. Do you want some comfort? Now, I tell you, this will comfort you right here. If you look at verse 3. Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. This is by God's appointment. You see, the trials that we undergo, not an accident. God appoints these trials for us to help us, to wean us, to teach us, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Mourn in Zion. To give them, He doesn't leave us in that state of mourning. He's going to bless us through that. Grace to help in time of need. To give unto them, now look what it says here. Beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Beauty. Christ takes our death and gives us His beauty. His beauty. Look what He says in verse 10 of Isaiah 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for my soul shall be joyful in my God. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornament, and the bride adorneth herself with jewel. Beauty for ashes. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He took our sin, He gives us Himself, the Lord, our righteousness. He took our death, He gives us life. He took God's justice. The wrath of God fell upon Him as a sinner substitute. He gives us mercy. Mercy, not the expense of justice, but mercy because justice has been satisfied. This is how God can be just, a just God and Savior. Beauty for ashes. That's comfort, is it not? Look what it says there also. The oil of joy. The oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy. Grace in our hearts, received by believing, trusting, and resting in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Notice Isaiah 61, verse 7. For your shame ye shall have double. For your shame ye shall have double. And for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. That's what we have in Christ. Everlasting joy. Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ always and again I say rejoice. Turn over here to Psalm 103. There's a lot of Scripture that talks about the joy and the blessedness we have in Christ Jesus. But this is one of my favorites. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Look at verse 10. Psalm 103. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise, it says here in the text, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Back to Isaiah 61:3. You see it there? The garment of praise. I tell you, we have something to praise the Lord for. All salvation. Instead of being burdened with guilt and heaviness and anguish of sin not covered, we've been given the garment of praise. Thank you, Lord, for pardon, for redemption, for reconciliation in Christ Jesus. Find Ephesians chapter 1. Look what he says here. Bless the Lord. Ephesians 1. Look at verse 3. Bless the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless God, we praise God who hath blessed us. Boy, if anybody's motivated to bless the Lord and to honor and to worship the Lord, it's those redeemed and chosen by God's sovereign saving grace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, all according to the good pleasure of God's will. You see, He's our preacher. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our comforter. You see what a great Savior we have? And then fifthly, back to Isaiah 61. He is the planter. He's a cultivator. Look what it says there. That they might be called trees of righteousness. We're the planting of the Lord. Now look right up in the chapter before. Isaiah 60 verse 21. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting. You see, He's the vine. We're the branches. The branch of my planting, the work of my hand, that I may be glorified. Again, that's the bottom line in this thing. God must have all the glory. Every believer is the planting of the Lord. That tree doesn't plant itself. Someone has to plant that tree. In a nursery, I'm talking about, in a cultivated environment. The church is God's vineyard, God's orchard, that He may be glorified. Believers are often compared to trees. Did you know that? Often compared to trees. Let me show you a few scripture. Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. Look at this here. Psalm 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not, verse 1, in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Now turn over here to Psalm 92. You see, we're His garden. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Psalm 92, look at verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Who does? The righteous. Ever watch them palm trees when those hurricanes come up the coast and on the Gulf, how those palm trees, they'll bend and bend and bend, and then they come right back up. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar. The cedars of Lebanon. That cedar wood is special wood. God's planting, God's doing. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Fruit of the Spirit. You see, it's Christ in us. They shall be fat and flourishing. to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. And one other, Jeremiah chapter 17. And he makes a comparison here in Jeremiah 17 between the blessed man and the cursed man. Jeremiah 17 verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. Jeremiah 17:5. For he shall be like a heath, that's a shrub in the desert, shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, a salt land not inhabited. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. That's your hope. The Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spread out her roots by the river, shall not see when the heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You see, we are His planting, His vineyard, His garden. Look at Isaiah 61, verse 11. The earth shall bring forth her bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. His garden. He cultivates it. You see, the believer's soul is God's watered garden, Jeremiah 31:12. Walled by His grace, planted by His instruction, visited by His love, He cultivates His garden. You cultivate yours, don't you? Why? You expect some fruit. If you don't cultivate it, the weeds will take it over. But the soul redeemed by the blood of Christ is His water garden, walled by grace. Walled by the grace of God. You know, years ago, when they planted gardens, they let the livestock run loose and they built a fence around the garden to keep the animals out. We took one of those walking tours in Williamsburg, Virginia. And they explained to us how all the animals and livestock just run loose. And they fenced the garden and they made it horse high, bull strong, and pig tight. So none of the livestock could get in. And that's God's garden, walled by His grace. Horse high, bull strong, pig tight. planted by His instruction, visited by His love, weeded by His heavenly discipline, guarded by His divine power. And the bottom line, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Christ is all and in all, especially in salvation. Now, can you remember those five things? He's the preacher. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the comforter. He is our comfort. He put away our sin. Boy, that's comfort to me. And He's the planter. He plants His garden. He visits His garden. And He expects fruit out of His garden. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, these things. Again, that He may be glorified in all things.